Colorado and Sheridan.
Right now, all dining and all reclining is on sale at Mossholder's Design Center. Whether you need to update your dining room furniture or upgrade that old recliner, now's the perfect time. Mossholder's showroom is stocked with dining room sets and a huge selection of bar stools. Choose from more than 60 in-stock recliners and lift chairs, as well as reclining sofas and love seats. If you don't find your perfect pieces in stock, that's okay, because all dining and all reclining orders are on sale too. That's Mossholder's Dining and Reclining Sale, going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. Colton, what if I told you that almost every real estate deal you'll encounter will have at least one or two challenges?
Well, that's not ideal, but I get it. I mean, it's the largest transaction many people will make in their lives.
Exactly. It's a huge financial and emotional decision, so every misstep can feel very overwhelming.
That's precisely what our team at Best focuses on. Our work comes from staying calm, helping the client through every decision, and prepping for every single step.
Choose an agent that'll go to bat for you. Choose the Best.
Give us a call today at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net.
Arrow West Insurance, ERA Carroll Realty, and Sheridan Tactical are back with another paintball challenge sweepstakes, Julie.
Sheridan Media had a team of 10 out there, and it was so much fun.
Well, right now, one person's going to win an all-inclusive paintball experience for four.
All-inclusive?
Headgear, gun, 500 rounds of paintball, and you can play all four fields. There's a car lot, berm field, tires, and my favorite was the woods.
My team lost, so we're going back for redemption.
The ERA Carroll Realty and Arrow West Insurance paintball team challenge sweepstakes on now through June 20th.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Monday, June 15th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Patient Experience, Kelly Lee, and Primary Care Doctor, Christopher Schamber. Good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us, Floyd.
Morning, Floyd.
So, how are things at the hospital? Busy?
Busy. Lots of changes. Multiple different directions. Always trying to keep up with the pace of healthcare in the state and regionally.
Yeah. When it comes to those changes, is everybody kind of brought into a big room, or is it kind of like the military? I'm gonna tell the department heads, and the department heads are gonna disseminate that information down.
I think our leaders have had a really neat opportunity to work with the community on the communication. You'll see our chiefs out there right now talking about some of the big changes around critical access and some of the big behavioral health units and transitional care. And I see our leaders, Mike and McCafferty and team, really just getting out there with the community and asking them what they think about it. And then from there, it gets disseminated to leaders like Dr. Schamber, med staff, right? And as a PA, I'm part of those things too. And then we get to those conversations. We get to share that with our teams. One of the neat things about Memorial right now is around process change. Frontline teams are often involved in those things. So as big and as high arching are some of these bigger changes, the details and how that happens, we really want the input from the front line in the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good.
Because they're the ones that are going to be executing 95% of this.
And they're stuff. The subject matter expert, right?
Yeah.
We see big things around critical access or transitional care or behavioral health or whatever the change or the new, to Dr. Schamber's point, to keep up with healthcare in general.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating and ever-changing. And to do that, we have to understand it better. But then our teams are the ones, you're right, executing it. And they know how on the ground it truly works. Or not.
Doc, I saw that you were going to be in here to talk to me about the TCU, which we'll get to. But I instantly thought, dang, is he transferring out of primary care? Are you still our primary care guy?
I'm still practicing at primary care. I handed off the torch, medical directorship torch, to Dr. Henderson as of the 1st of June.
Okay.
Transitioning some additional leadership roles with the TCU, with the Sheridan Greenhouse, and a few others.
Now, was this decision yours, or you're like, okay, I got primary care built. The clinic is going. She's running well. I want to go be part of something else to build? Or was this kind of like, hey, we need you over here?
Some of both. There was a need, and I needed to transition some other things that I was doing out in the community, and can't be pulled too many directions at once. Otherwise, good work doesn't get done. So had to make some decisions there, and it was time. Other people needed and wanted to step up in leadership roles, and it was perfect timing. It all worked together just perfectly.
Floyd, I keep stealing him away as part of it.
Like, I know who can develop this.
So we're working on, we have an aging population.
Yeah.
65 and older. And it's important we look at that nuance and uniqueness of our community that way. And there's so many avenues and along that care continuum for a geriatric population. As an internist, I think Dr. Schamber has all of the skills to help us in the areas like transitional care, greenhouse, home care, hospice, and still be a hospitalist where he practices, inpatient medicine, and then also in the clinic. So he can do all of those things while I steal him away to do the geriatrics. And then we have incredible leaders who can take on the primary care clinic that is doing very well.
Doc, how is it to change step kind of like that? Just, okay, you're still taking care of your patients, which is something that I absolutely adore. You're like, well, I'm not leaving them because that's why I became a doctor. But then transitioning from leadership over here to kind of change step into back into like a developing role.
It works well with my mind. I'm very much a task-oriented kind of guy. And so when there's a lot of work to be done, I thrive in that environment. So when things are busy, when things are crazy, I work really well.
Yeah.
And so that my transition over there wasn't difficult in that regard to the new leadership positions.
I got a brother like that in the military. Every time he gets a department or a section done, boy, they're like, all right, pluck him up, put him over here. Okay, start from scratch. Do what you just did, but do it over here. Mm-hmm. And boy, he's kind of like you. He thrives on that. He loves that idea. His retirement's come up, and he called me not too long ago, and he's like, I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to stick around and just keep doing what I'm doing
things.
Absolutely. So there have been some changes at the hospital, but let's remind folks what TCU actually is and how it serves our patients.
So TCU stands for the Transitional Care Unit. Transitional care is a term we use in talking about patients transitioning from a hospitalization for illness, for an injury, for a surgery, and to a place where they can get stronger, healthier to get back home is the idea. So they're in the hospital. They're not where they need to be yet to safely go back home. So they go to the transitional care unit. They get therapies. They get certain medications for conditions that don't need to be treated in the hospital still, but yet are too complex to be treated at home. And they're working every day with various service lines to get to that point where they can go back home and be independent.
Now, while they're in this unit, they're still being monitored by their doctor. If it's a surgeon, the surgeon's still coming in, checking on them, things like that, right?
Not like it is in the hospital. They'll have physician oversight by myself. We also have a nurse practitioner that cares for patients in that unit, currently Kim Williams. But really, transitional care, short-term rehab is another term used in other facilities. It's about therapies. It's about more about the non-medical things, whereas the hospital is truly about the medical care. You're getting antibiotics, you're getting surgeries, getting fluids pulled off of you, you're giving fluids, you're getting diuretics, different medical treatments. Once somebody is healthy enough to no longer need that aggressive kind of care in the hospital, they transition to a rehab setting like the TCU. The therapies are really the guiding service lines in that situation. So when I say therapies, I mean physical and occupational primarily, and speech as well, depending on patient needs. And then those those individuals are the ones, first and foremost, who decide this person needs some additional help so that they can go back home safely and not return to the hospital or not get injured. And then they're the ones guiding the care. So the philosophy of care and the direction of care is really guided by that those services.
Kelly, we've been talking about transitional care for a number of years now. I've had many individuals, high leadership, McCafferty, Sinclair, so many individuals coming in here trying to kind of let the public know this is what transitional care is. This is how we decided we want to accomplish it. Why is it so important that the public understand what transitional care is? And we keep coming back and saying, hey, remember, this is what this is, and this is how we do it.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a different concept, right? And different facilities accomplish this same goal in different ways. You can do it in patient rehab facilities. You can have swing beds in the hospital. We can do it in skilled nursing facilities, in nursing homes, or nursing facilities like the greenhouse. So I think it's important to just describe, you know, what type of patient. So Dr. Shamber visited about different therapies. But when we talk about it, it's someone who might have struggled to rehab from pneumonia. It's someone who may have struggled to rehab from congestive heart failure or COPD or a surgery where they became a little more deconditioned. Mm. The other one would be something like a minor stroke, right? And or brain injury. So I think it's important to understand what group of people or what group of diagnoses. And also, to Dr. Shamber's point, hey, the hospital might be too much for the resources that you need, but home may be too little. Mm. So that term transitional is super key. So as we continue to talk about it and educate the community as others before us have done, I think it's most important to say, what is the need of that type of patient? What kind of diagnosis do they have? How can we support them and get them through some of that growth, which can take up to 3 to 4 weeks, sometimes longer.
Wow.
These are longer stays than, say, an average stay at a hospital's 96 hours, right?
To get my appendix out, it's a couple days.
That's actually an outpatient. Can come in today, have your appendix out, you go home tomorrow. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So we don't have, there's this sort of population health idea, right? So you've got all this outpatient management of care so that you can prevent hospitalization and prevent illness and injury with your primary care team. Your primary care provider, internist, family practice doc, pediatrics, all those kinds of things, right? We really want to keep you healthy outside of the hospital. But once you hit the hospital, that's intensive treatment, right? ICU, med-surg, surgery, those kinds of things. Medical surgical unit, I should say. But then after that, there's this sort of gray zone of, I'm not well enough to go home yet. But, and again, an aging population, we need to learn to support the patient who requires a little more transition and a little more time, but doesn't meet criteria, as you can understand, with big healthcare and payer systems, right? Mm. Like insurance, they may not pay for something like that inpatient. So transitional care is a really great spot where you can take your time, relearn, right? Relearn how to walk, relearn how to breathe and walk with you have increase in oxygen, right? Needs. And as you continue to get better, you rehab a little bit more. So you have those therapies, you have the nursing, and that would be transitional care, where we take your time to get you home safely.
Doc, has there been some sort, and I imagine there's probably been a bunch of different studies on this, success rate for TCU, as opposed to those individuals who don't have a TCU. They go basically just from inpatient to home. Is there evidence behind all this and the high increase in success rates, or maybe they're not coming back to the hospital as fast or as often?
Readmission rates.
Yeah, I don't think there's one specific study, and it's complicated depending on whether we're talking about therapy needs or medication needs. But readmission rates is one thing that we're tracked pretty closely, and the hospital gets dinged, if you will, by Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services or insurance companies if we have too high of a readmission rate. And that is specifically a patient readmitted for the same diagnosis within 30 days. And, you know, we want to have that low for obvious reasons. We don't want patients to come back to the hospital. And transitional care, rehab, is one of those ways that we can keep patients from coming back to the hospital. I often have to, you know, most patients, if they had a choice between going to rehab versus going home, are going to say home all day long. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain that, do you want to go home and potentially come back and stay here for even longer? Because that's what I would say anecdotally we see. If somebody is readmitted to the hospital, the condition oftentimes is worse. Or do you want to go to rehab for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, sometimes longer? I know that doesn't sound fun, but then you get to go home and you stay home. Maybe yeah. even better than you were before you came to the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, Kelly, how does the family fit into this transitional care unit? And we'll get into the recent relocation of that within coming up. But one thing, you know, I haven't been in the hospital a whole lot, but when I was there, boy, it was great to see someone I knew walk through that door. How do families fit in?
You know, that's my favorite question, right?
Absolutely.
I'm very much about person-centered care and patient-centered care in my role as patient experience. And as a family member of individuals who may have been sick in the past, right? No one hasn't driven this car. We've all required health care, or a family member has needed it. And if we don't have our family by our side, what are we doing? You know, I'm a proponent of increased visitation hours, having a comfortable space like our ICU. I've seen ICUs regionally that don't even have a bed or a couch for family in them, but yeah. ours does. Yeah. Always. We have that ability to, if you needed to have a family member overnight, they can rest with you.
That's fantastic, because yeah. you always hear those stories about, oh, they slept in the chair, or there was an extra bed off to the side. Maybe they caught a nap.
Yeah, it's not, you know, ideal or not comfortable, ideal. Yeah. but it is ideal to have the one you love next to you while you heal and you are maybe scared with a new diagnosis. So with transitional care, that's no different. We think it's very important to have family by your side and be a part of your care and therapy. When we talk about care teams and care conferences and planning, it's not only the physician or the nurse practitioner, nursing and therapies involved. Sometimes we'll have social work. Often we have social work there, but the core center of that circle of that team is always patient and family. So it's really neat to see transitional care plan around that. Families are always welcome, and it's really, you know, important to the healing process for the patient.
Absolutely. It's amazing what hope and love yeah. can do. Mm-hmm. Really amazing. Okay, on that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Sheridan Memorial Hospital in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Can you feel the love tonight?
I'm Flannery Rorabaugh.
And I'm Brindley Wollers.
The cast and crew of Disney's The Lion King Jr., presented by WildPlay and Tandem Productions, can't wait to share the love with you.
Catch performances by 60 local children on June 17th through 20th at the WYO Performing Arts and Education Center.
Curtain is each night at 7 p.m.
Tickets are available at the WYO Theater box office or online at wyotheater.com.
The City of Sheridan Weed and Pest would like to announce that mosquito fogging will begin starting the week of June 15th and continue through the mosquito breeding season. Fogging will take place Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings when necessary. For more information, to report heavy concentrations of mosquitoes, or to request that your home be in a no-spray zone, please call the mosquito hotline at 307-655-8297 or visit the website at www.sheridanwy.gov.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on frackletons.com.
Hey, a little help here. My oil change is way overdue, and I know you're ignoring my check engine light.
If your car could talk, would it tell you what it needs? At Midas in Sheridan, we speak fluent car. From everything under the hood to brakes and tires, Midas is your one stop for your ride. And right now, enter the What Does Your Ride Need sweepstakes on SheridanMedia.com for your chance to win a full year of oil changes from Midas. Enter now through June 24th on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning we're sitting with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Patient Experience, Kelly Leap, and Primary Care Dr. Christopher Schamber. Now, I imagine there'll be some new titles attached to you, Doc, Kelly, maybe to you, as we transition into these new things. I mean, am I introducing you correctly anymore?
Kelly, would you like to take it?
Sure. I mean, titles are...
titles are titles, right? They're inconsequential.
Yeah. The things we do all day, as you know, it's what we do that matters. So, but Dr. Schamber is a dyad partner of mine in this new opportunity, and he is the medical director of Sheridan Greenhouse, and that does include the new transitional care unit. And then... we as a team are over the geriatric care continuum, which is an aging-centered role for each of us as we look at, you know, the silos of care and how we make it a little less bumpy for our aging population. So that's a long statement and not the title, but, you know, those are our roles.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's most important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when it comes to the aging population, what did those conversations look like around that table with doctors, with administrators, with care providers when the numbers came back where it's like, hey, look, our population, the majority is going to be over 65. And as we enter this new era, more individuals are in the senior category than ever before in human history. How does that change what we do at Sheridan Memorial Hospital?
I would say it changes everything. You know, the state is the fastest aging state in the country.
Wow.
Sheridan County is one of the oldest counties in the state. And care gets more complex. And you could argue the ramifications of health and healthcare are arguably bigger as you get older. When we're talking about things like home versus not home, right? In terms of where somebody lives or where somebody gets their care, short-term and long-term. And when you look at how things are paid and regulations around healthcare, I think those things get more complex as well as folks get older.
Absolutely. That and, you know, the administrators need something to do. And since they've already done that, let's just add some more to everything. Now, earlier this month, Sheridan Memorial Hospital relocated the transitional care unit to the Sheridan Greenhouse campus. Now, the Sheridan Greenhouse campus itself was
somewhat unique. I mean, the greenhouse approach was something that I think we've talked about at length. It was a little bit different than other places. How did this idea come about, Kelly, when we were sitting around going, boy, where are we going to put TCU? We've got all these expansions going on. We got a behavioral health unit that we got to add to everything. We don't want to spend too much money expanding out more. What do we do?
It's a great question, Floyd. And I think, you know, the answer is that we already had the resource, right? We're very fortunate to manage and provide to our community the Sheridan Greenhouse. And as you stated, it is an incredible model. There's four cottages. We have the Scott Cottage, the Watt Cottage, Founders Cottage, and Whitney Cottage. And I love to say those names because each one is already different in my mind.
Yeah.
And they're each unique, and the humans who live there are unique. And within those cottages are 12 long-term care residents, three of the cottages. So all but Whitney Cottage. And within that is nursing and CNAs who often are placed in that cottage. So you're creating somewhat of a community each day with the 12 individuals who know each other, protect each other, and live together communally. And within that model, it's less institutionalized. You don't have these hallways of wheelchairs lined up for long-term care. It's a home-like environment with person-centered care, three meals a day that are home-cooked, and activities and patios with flowers and walking paths, and something that I would want for my family should that decision ever need to be made. So that's the long-term care aspect of it. When you talk about transitional care and where that fits, a nursing facility, an NF, is recognized at the state and federal level with regulatory guidelines, right? And underneath that umbrella, you have a long-term care, and you can have what's called skilled nursing facility, which is exactly what transitional care can be. We're providing transitional care in a home-like environment, and hopefully with now what we call functional rehab, where it feels more like a home-like environment instead of a hospital wing. You can go in there and help cook. You can go in there and plant flowers. If you wanted to work on shoveling light snow as your functional rehab, that could be something you do.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it feels already with this change last week as we had the patients come and live there, now residents for that, you know, 3 to 4 week stay, whatever that is, or even shorter term. The feeling is more that you're walking into their home. They weren't in their rooms, if you would. They were out living and, you know, eating at a dining table together and, again, living communally as they rehab in more of a home-like environment. The idea for skilled nursing now being transitional care is that it's done in a place that can provide that idea of a home so that you aren't going from hospital only. And yes, you can have things like medical equipment that helps you get out of bed or on and off of a toilet or in shower, hand bars, right? Different abilities, but you could also move those into your home. So you start thinking more around what's this going to be like when I go home?
Interesting. Yeah.
And then you have a better success. So it's pretty neat because the resource and asset of Sheridan Greenhouse was available. And as you know, it was really neat to bring those two teams together. And we're seeing some of that right now. We see barriers for sure. We see opportunities. It's transition, literally transitional care. They're in transition right now. And the teams are doing an incredible job. What I saw last week with our first patients was a lot of smiles. And it's really neat to see the rehab there. All of the equipment that we had on transitional care, the high level equipment, was brought over, and we have three spaces that are in different rooms, and it feels like a home-like environment where you're going through your therapy.
I really like the idea of having the equipment there and me kind of learning, what am I going to need at the house? Maybe I'm you know, recovering something with my back, and I think, oh, a couple of weeks I'll be able to jump around like I'm 20. But then those couple of weeks pass and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not 20. I'm going to need a bar because I've been depending on this so much. Or I'm going to need a seat in the shower because I've been depending on this so much. And then you kind of have that knowledge going in before getting to the house and you don't have it. And, you know, if people think that's not a big deal, be in that situation and not have it. It's a real big deal. So having that knowledge before you even get to the house, or maybe, and this is a good question. As I'm going through my TCU and I'm slowly recovering, or maybe quickly recovering, and having my family there a lot, is there a scenario where I could say, hey, can my wife come in and kind of watch this nurse help me from place to place, so, or my husband, so he understands how to get me from point A to point B, or how to prepare this for me so that we can help our spouses?
It's a great point. And again, back to families being involved, we want all of that. Our therapies team, led by Christina Metz, who's an incredible physical therapist, they are apt and very knowledgeable to looking at that. So how are you going to learn to drive a car again, right? Mm-hmm. And what's going to be the role of the spouse or partner in that, or daughter, son, right? So that we can successfully keep everyone safe and that they can have the independence, the patient, of driving a car, right? So bringing the family car around right there by the entrance to Whitney is part of that therapy. Or showering your loved one, right? That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And intimate and important that it's done well. And so we bring families and therapists see that and say, what kind of support do you have at home when they're ready, right? That first little bit of week one, week two might not be the time, but as you start really talking about going home, the therapists are intuitive and intentional around that and are bringing families in to make sure that those last checkoffs before home are really done and done well with the family.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really neat. They'll certainly be a part of that care.
It's a lot of us out here. My spouse or my partner is all I've got, you know, and as a husband, when I can't help, that's where my frustration comes from. You know, I don't know what to do. I wish I could help. I wish I could make you feel better. And if I had, you know, a TCU nurse over my shoulder going, the best thing you could do is this, or maybe just help her up or something, you know, and then I get that experience going back to the house. I've kind of gotten my lessons as well. And granted, that's not what the TCU is there for. They're not there to train me. But at the same time, I want to help. And I know there's a lot of spouses and partners out there who do. Now, when we look at the big move, what aspects of transitional care will remain exactly the same after this move?
The goal is that it's beyond space exactly the same, right? Of course, we have a different electronic medical record and obtaining medications and orders. Those are some things we're working through and making sure that patients and families have what they need. But the biggest thing is the people are not changing. Your TCU nurse that you speak of, your rehab team, your CNAs, your leadership there with Heather Hayden and Tracy Will isn't changing. And so you'll continue to see the faces that you knew before. And I think that's probably one of the most important things. That's where you gain trust, is who's providing the care. Mm-hmm. So you'll expect to see all those same faces. So that's one thing. And then around the rehab equipment, it all came with us. It's with us. And we are learning and teaching our patients. And that is exactly the same, if not enhanced, with having a home-like and functional therapy environment. And then, I mean, that's been the goal the whole time, is to provide the same level of care and excellent service and transitional care at the shared greenhouse under a skilled facility. So,
Doc, how do we check that? How do we ensure that care and service is provided the same place there as it is at the old TCU unit? I guess that was redundant. At the old TCU.
Just do the same work. You know, there's a lot of things we do in medicine differently depending on the building that we're in, depending on the electronic medical record that we're in, the computers that we have, different equipment that we have. But I still practice medicine the same way, the medicine I practice. The therapies that are practiced, Christina Metz and her team still do the same therapies. Does it look a little bit different because the equipment isn't set up the same way that it was in the TCU? Yes, it's a different kind of building, right? But the people, like Kelly said, I think that's the great way to put it. The people are still the same. Nothing has changed there.
And that really does bear a lot, because you know, I have the same dentist that I've had for years, because I know his character.
It's all trust.
And that, and I trust it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
All trust.
I think everybody can identify with that. Not only that, but I mean, as my doctor, I'm telling you incredibly personal, private things about myself, and you don't want to be sharing that with a whole lot of people. But once somebody knows and they can look at you and be serious and, you know, Floyd, we got to get that cholesterol down, buddy. Like, you can be straight with me. And that's how I've always liked to deal with my doctors. Just be as cut and dry with me as humanly possible. Were there challenges for staff in this transition, this movement? And if so, what were those?
Yeah, I think change in any point can be challenging. And you go to work every day. And I mean, Floyd, I've been here a few times and you work in this space. And if we decided tomorrow you had to go across the hall, right? That's a little upheaval.
It's a transition.
Yeah. So I think that there's always that fear of what's it going to be like, and the unknown. And the teams were incredible. They were open and we all worked together every week, and each modality, each part, right? From facilities to HR to supply chain, nursing, therapies, case management, admissions, legal. We all got in a room, right? And we all had the priorities that we needed to provide the same level of care and the excellent service you talk about, that it's not any different once we get there. So what tools did you need to get there? And I think jumping into that process, regardless of the fear or understanding that change is hard for any human, once you had the action to, hey, what do we need so that we can make this what we want it to be on the other side, then there was some direction and the teams really shined.
And I think that actually bears a lot of fruit. Sitting down with your team and saying, tell me what you need, I'll provide that during the move. A lot of fears or apprehensions are kind of tampered if, oh, I'm going to have everything I need for this. So going forward, we don't have to worry about losing A, B, or C, which I think in any move, that's the first thing somebody thinks of. Will we lose access to this? Will we need to do more for that? And once you realize that, you're pretty much good. Then it's just get used to the environment, really. Now, how does the new location support more than just, I mean, you talked about the environment itself. It's almost like being home, but at the same time, you're still there. What is the relation to the hospital physically of the greenhouse space? That is something that I think a lot of people may not know. They may not have had a need to know where the greenhouse was, but now looking at my surgery, I'm certainly going to need to. So where is the greenhouse in relation to the hospital?
The greenhouse is just down the road, across the street, basically from the high school football stadium.
So it's literally right there.
It's not very far.
All right. And if our patients or, you know, the elders in long-term care, when we need memorial, which we will always need memorial, it's a quick trip and we have the ability with the greenhouse bus and transport team that we have. And if needed, always Wyoming Regional EMS, their support and partnership. So memorial will always have, that standard where we can come back and bring our patients over to the hospital when needed. Dr. Shamber still works as a hospitalist. I know the ER teams well. I'm still working over there and picking up shifts. We will always accept patients from Sheridan Greenhouse and any outlying facility. That's what Memorial does, and they do it really well. And then take care of you and get you back home or to your home-like environment.
All right. On that, I got to take another quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital just after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
WyoJam 2026, outdoor concerts in downtown Sheridan. Four nights, big stage, country, rock, and hip-hop. Wednesday, free concert benefiting Reach with Jared Morris.
I'll be here waiting for the show.
Thursday, rock the night with Shoot to Thrill, Blow Your Top, and Recapture. Friday, Afro Man and Yin Yang Twins. And Saturday, Michael Ray. WyoJam 2026, July 8th through the 11th. Get your tickets online at wyojam.com.
I'm Lieutenant James Hill with the Sheridan Police Department, and we're hiring peace officers. If you already live here, you know how amazing this community is. If you're from the outside area, you'll discover that Sheridan is full of outdoor adventure, great schools, and a strong community. Sheridan is a place thousands visit every year and a place we're proud to call home. And we're also proud to serve and protect. We're looking for people of character with a strong sense of responsibility who want more than just a job. Whether you're an experienced officer or considering a career in law enforcement, we offer opportunities for growth, training, and a chance to make a real difference. If you're ready to serve a community that supports its officers, we'd like to hear from you. To see more about the job description, pay, training, and benefits, and to apply, visit SheridanWY.gov. That's SheridanWY.gov.
In Wyoming, the weather doesn't ask for permission. One day it's sunshine, the next it's 37 degrees and sleeting. That's why homeowners call Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors. From residential shingles to standing seam metal roofing and full commercial systems, they're built for the Wyoming weather. And when storms hit, we help guide you through the insurance process from start to finish. Call today for your free inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, Brandon, Wyoming, one home at a time.
Mossholder's Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Mossholder's talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Mossholder's will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Mossholder's designers can get it done. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Patient Experience, Kelly Lee, and Primary Care Doctor, Christopher Schamber. Now, let's talk about the continuum of care. Now, we use a lot of, let's call them industry words, and continuum of care is definitely going to be one of them that people are going to hear. We've actually addressed it. You've used it a couple times. But if someone says, Doc, what the heck is the continuum of care? What do you say?
My idea of at least the geriatric continuum of care is trying to streamline someone's care, specifically within our systems that we have built at and through Sheridan Memorial Hospital. Healthcare can be so fragmented, and I would say that's probably the standard across the industry, across the country, is that it's fragmented, it's isolated, it's siloed, and continuum of care, the idea is that you streamline those processes within and through different service lines to give somebody the most efficient care that they can receive.
Kelly, when you've spoken to patients, what would you say was, and I'm trying to figure out how to word this best, because their greatest fear seems like that would be the question. But, I mean, there is fear going into every surgery, you know, going into a lot of different things happen up at the hospital. If someone were to sit down, talk with you, what do they express when it comes to their apprehensions, and how does Sheridan Memorial Hospital really help them through that? Because, you know, the doc said it's siloed in a way. We want to get you in there, get you cared for, and get you home as fast as possible. But at the same time, let's take a moment. Let's talk to each other.
In my role as patient experience director, it's really been eye-opening to understand, and bedside care, right? Any of us who are clinicians, and at any point in time, what it comes down to for the patient is, first of all, communication and how hard it is to navigate a system. And then we keep coming back to trust. I will keep bringing that back. So as an aging populace, right, we say, how do I know that my loved one who's aging can go through this process and navigate it, get the care they need? And they may not know what's quality care or what's not, but that those bumps along the road can be minimized so that their experience is what they're remembering, right? Their perception of the care and their journey of their care and who talked to them and who talked to their family and how they were reassured or educated and the knowledge they had gained around their diagnosis, or whether or not their pain or their personal, you know, wishes or preferences were met during that care. That's what's important to the patient. Not, you know, waiting in line for their referral, right? Or for their medication or their prior authorization or those hiccups and bumps of healthcare that really just deter people from coming to see us when they need to have their diagnosis made and their care provided. So I think people want to get away from some of those bumps, and they just want to tell us what their needs are and have a perception of care that they remember as being positive, right? That also improves outcomes. When we do those things, there's more buy-in and trust, and the outcome of the patient from a quality perspective is better. There's studies on this, right? So it's how do we get the patients through this bumpy system that's siloed or fragmented, which it can be, and we do our best at Memorial to understand healthcare when it's complicated. But, I mean, each of us has seen it. I mean, we get phone calls all the time, right, about, hey, how do I do this or how do I navigate that, just from personal friends and family.
Those who know you call you for how do I navigate through
this
process?
It's always about navigation. Hey, call this person or that person. I think the idea for Dr. Shamber and myself and all the teams around a care continuum that you say, right, is how do we take some of that away so that patients have access and care and they can focus on the loved one and what they truly need instead of those bumps.
I'll add to that if I may. Sort of, you know, what is their fear? And maybe another way to state it is, what do they want? And if you were to ask any older person, they may not say this exact word, but it's independence.
Yeah.
Right. They want independence. Now the medical providers, family, often the view of what that looks like is different in the patient's eyes versus their family or their providers. And we're often having to navigate those different perceptions on what independence looks like, what safety looks like, what care looks like, to try and get that person back to that environment that they want to be in. Because for them, they would rather live at home, and they want to be there no matter what. Even if they are at risk of falling and breaking a hip, they would rather be there than somewhere else. How do we get them back there? All the things that Kelly said absolutely are important and true for sure. And at that higher level, sort of philosophical perspective, it's independence.
Yeah.
And if you ask any person, it's going to be, I want to be independent. I want to live where I want to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And recover where I want to recover. And I think that's fantastic in the outline of the idea of putting everything within the greenhouse. It's not the hospital. My father years and years ago in a totally different part of this country experienced horrible burns over 30% of his body. And the care he received was horrible from point A to point B. And the entire family remembers that to this day. We still discuss the care that he received. And it put a bad taste in our mouth, you know, with everyone who was involved from point A to point B. And the same can be said for individuals, that one doctor who looks at you and says, you know what, just call me. Here you go. Here's my number. Or call my assistant. She knows everything I know. Trust me. That hits something different. That hits the other side of that spectrum where it's like, man, they're here for me. They want to take care of me. And that really means something when you're at your most vulnerable. I got 1 minute left. Is there anything about the TCU, Sheridan Memorial, or anything else that you would like people to know? Doc, I'll start with you.
TCU is still the TCU. It's in a different location. Still the same thing.
Kelly.
We want to be a part of your care, and we're honored to be a part of your care, so that when you get home, you can be independent, you can be strong, and live your life. And we hope that when you come see us for transitional care, the people you see give you a lasting memory of something great. So I know, to your point, Floyd, that people remember the things, right? People remember when their child was born or when their loved one died, and they remember these things. So we want to be a part of that care with you.
Part of that memory of healing, no matter what kind of healing it is. Doc, Kelly, thank you both so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure having you, too.
Thank you, Floyd, for having us.
Thank you. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Heard the news? Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit in a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights. Yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan. Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great. A fighter for us. Wyoming's Frank Chapman. Conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Owning a classic car or collector car isn't just about getting from point A to point B. It's about the time you've invested, the memories attached to it, and the pride with keeping something special on the road. Iron Valley Insurance Group offers coverage designed specifically for classic and collector vehicles, with policies that recognize their true value and how they're actually used. Weekend drives, car shows, or a project you spent years perfecting, they'll help make sure it's protected the right way. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Stop by or request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
As Father's Day approaches, experts agree the North American father prefers tools, garage gear, and things that make engines louder. If your dad is happiest with grease on his hands, head to Napa Auto Parts. They'll have a great gift for him. Milwaukee tools, garage gear, auto care items, and a gift card he'll actually use. His voice will say, "Thank you, honey," but his eyes will say, "You're my favorite." This Father's Day, skip the guessing and head to locally owned Napa Auto Parts on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Hi, I'm Nathan Mullinex, veteran and proud owner of Sheridan Motors. The Mullinex family has been supporting and serving the Sheridan area for over 70 years through multiple local businesses. We're proud to continue that tradition right here at Sheridan Motors. We believe in keeping the hometown experience alive, where customers are treated like neighbors and service still means something. Whether you're looking for a new, used, or just need service on your current vehicle, Sheridan Motors is here for you. Come see us at Sheridan Motors today, your locally owned hometown